So whatever goes in our ears, whatever we allow to go inside our ear, it ends up in the bay of our heart. And it's very difficult to get it out. In fact, we heard from some pastimes of one devotee who was recently leaving her body. And there was some discussion about that. It's a test time. Ante Narayana Smritihi, the time of death. Death is when all our bhajan, all our sadhana becomes tested. And so one devotee was saying how songs that you might have heard when you were growing up as a kid, how they can loop in your mind and come back out, even at the time of death, and then fight with the holy name. So we should be careful about what we let in, because once it gets in there, it circulates, it stays in. And I had quoted from one of the verses in the fourth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, the 26th verse, in which Krishna talks about the sacrifice of those who are very serious in spiritual life, and that is restricting the hearing process, being very careful to only hear spiritually surcharged sound. It's not that, of course, artificially we put earplugs in our ears, because you're going to hear things there, but it's a matter of selective hearing and not lingering, not allowing it to go deep within our heart. There's certain things that we have to hear in the course of doing our daily duties, and talk to the milkman. We don't have milkman anymore, but talk to the UPS man or whatever it is. And you know, those types of conversations are not precisely what I mean, but it means that giving audience to sound vibration that's not beneficial. It can go in and stay in, and then it reverberates. It comes back out again. So this is the practice, actually, of spiritual life. So let's hear from some shastra. We'll hear from Sri Upanishad first, and then we'll go right into the Bhagavad Gita, Purushottam Yoga. Shall we chant the Sanskrit verses? Has everyone practiced in the Ishapanishad now? Have you all learned the shlokas, the 19 shlokas of the Sri Ishapanishad? How many shlokas, when you're taking Bhakti Shastra, how many of them do you have to learn out of the Sri Ishapanishad? You didn't attend that part. Anyone? Two verses? One? How many? A few verses from the Sri Upanishad. Okay. All right. Well, by hearing the Sri Upanishad over and over again, these mantras, they'll go into our heart and mind. And actually, as we know from the example of Gajendra, that Krishna is so kind that because of his contribution to chanting shlokas in his previous life as Indrajumna, he was able to remember those shlokas in his next life. Even he took the body of an elephant. So all the memorization and chanting that we do of these shlokas, even if you don't feel like you're using them or something like that on a regular basis, they'll have their effect. They actually are filling up our heart and our mind with transcendental sound vibration, and it stays in there. It's in there. So keeping a regimen of hearing these kinds of things regularly will have a positive effect. So let's chant the shlokas for Sri Upanishad. Om Purnamad. Well, actually, the easiest way is from the blue book, because in the back there of your the blue songbook, you'll find that they're all laid out for you in sequence. Om Purnam Tulo. Om Purnam Mada Purnamidam Purnat Purnam Udachate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamiva Vishishyate Isyavasam Idang Sarvam Yatkincha Jagatyam Jagat Tena Tyaktena Bunjita Magrida Kasiswidanam Kurvani Veha Karmani Jijivishekshatam Samaha Evam Twainanyate Tosti Nakarma Lipite Nare Asurya Namate Loka Antena Tamasavritaha Tamste Pratyabhigachanti Yeke Chatmahano Janaha Ane Jare Kam Manaso Javiyo Naina Deva Abnuvan Purvanarshat Tadhavato Jnana Teti Tishtat Tashmina Po Matarishva Dadati Tarejati Tannaijati Tadure Tadvantike Tarantarasya Sarvasya Tadu Sarvasya Sibhayataha Yastu Sarvani Bhutani Atmani Vanu Pashyati Sarva Bhuteshu Chatmanam Tato Navi Jagupsate Yasmin Sarvani Bhutani Atmai Vadbud Vichanataha Tatra Ko Mahakashoka Ekatvam Anupashyataha Sapaya Jakshukram Akayam Avranam Asnaviram Shudham Apapavidham Kavir Manishi Prabhu Swayampur Yatatyatyator Tan Pyaradashasvati Pyasamabhyaha Andantama Pravishanti Ye Vidyamupasate Tato Puya Ivate Tamo Yau Vidyayam Rataha Anyareva Hur Vidyaya Anyarahura Vidyaya Iti Shushru Madhiranam Yenastad Vichichakshire Vidyam Cha Vidyam Chayas Tad Vedo Bayam Saha Avidyayam Ratum Tirtva Vidyayam Ratum Ashnute Andantama Pravishanti Ye Sambutim Upasate Tato Puya Ivate Tamo Yau Sambutyam Rataha Anyadeva Husambhavad Anyadahura Sambhavad Iti Shushru Madhiranam Yenastad Vichichakshire Sambutim Cha Vinasham Cha Yastad Vedo Bayam Saha Vinashena Mrittum Tirtva Sambutyam Mrittum Ashnute Hiranmayena Patrena Satyasya Pihitam Mukham Tattvam Pushana Pavrenu Satya Dharmaya Drishtaye Pushani Karse Yamasurya Prajapatya Vyuharashmin Samuha Tejo Yate Rupam Kalyanatamam Tate Pashami Yosavasau Purusha Somasmi Vayur Anilamamratam Atedam Bashmantam Shariram Om Kratosmara Kritam Smara Kratosmara Kritam Smara Agne Naya Supataraya Asman Vishvani Deva Vainani Vidvan Yuyodhyasmas Juharanamino Puishtam Tenama Iktim Padema Sri Shapanishad Sampurnam Hari Om. And now let's say all the English translations all the way through together. Anyone have a favorite verse from the Shusha Upanishad? You like the last one? Anyone else? Who else said last one? Yeah, the last one. Gadai? Gadai has a question. We're going to need the microphone.
In Mantra 3 it says the killer of the soul. How can you kill the soul? So,
why do you think the soul can't be killed?
In Mantra 3 it says, oh, the killer of the soul.
Yes, so you're saying, how can somebody kill the soul? What gave you the idea that the soul can't be killed? Where did you hear that the soul could ever be killed? Huh?
The Bhagavad Gita, I don't remember, but verse it is, but it said that you can't cut it, you can't burn the soul, you can't do anything with it.
And someplace it says you can't kill it too, right?
Yeah.
Okay, you have to find the verse, that's your homework. So what it means is that you have a good question, a nice Shastra Praman. What it means in this verse, and in other verses, there are other verses where Krishna says someone is a killer of the soul. For instance, there's a verse in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, where Krishna's, 11th canto, Krishna is speaking to Uddhava, and he says that the human body is like a boat, and it can cross over the ocean of material existence. But if one doesn't take advantage of it, then he becomes a killer of the soul. So what it means is that it's such a rare opportunity to come to the human form of life. Out of 8,400,000 species of life, the human form is the only form that is capable, actually, of understanding the absolute truth and taking full advantage of it. In fact, as we know from the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, this world is like a banyan tree. It's a very convoluted, tangled tree with roots and branches going up and down. Urdhva mula madasha kam ashvatam prahuradavyam. Chandamsi yasya parnani yastam veda savedavit. And even in the heavenly planet, the realm of the human being on the earthly planet is the place where there's the greatest opportunity for becoming free of karma and going back to home, back to Godhead. So if one doesn't take the opportunity during this course of the human life, because it's so rare and important, that it's such a severe travesty to not use it that it's called killing the soul. Because the soul can then go back down again into the species of lower life where there's no opportunity and can be there for such a long time that it's practically hard to calculate. Therefore, that's why it's stated like that. But you're right. The soul can never be killed. It's eternal. It can't be cut, dried, burned. Thank you. Good question. So we have a couple devotees that like the last verse. Anybody else? A verse that you like from the Sri Upanishad? Mantra 6. Okay, let's hear the reasons why you like these verses. You can start. Use the mic.
I like the Mantra 6 because in that it says, one who sees all the living entities as part and parcel of the Lord never hates anything or any being. Mm. And that's a very really...
Nice. Why do you like the last verse?
It's about complete surrender to Krishna. We are falling at his feet and begging for his mercy, and also acknowledging that without Krishna's help, we cannot go on to the right path. Hmm. And also that we can't bluff Krishna. He knows everything about our past, even our present and the future. Hmm. And it's only by his mercy that our past, whatever we have done in the past, the bad deeds, nobody else can absolve us of that except for his mercy.
Hmm.
So...
Thank you. Hansapriya?
I like it. Material world definitely reminds that we are suffering from forgetting Krishna, and here it's a kind of medicine for the sick people. Pretty clear direction, and it feels like he's holding a hand and walking through this and helping us to see the light, to surrender.
Nice, very personal. Yes, Aruni.
In Mantra 7, it says that if we know that...
Click.
In Mantra 7, it says that if we know that the soul is spiritual and... is one with supreme by quality. It gives us the idea that don't have to suffer in this material world because we don't have any problems. We don't have anything in common with this material world because we are a soul.
Very nice. Solves all the problems. Thank you very much. What else? Favorite verse. Pick a verse. Ramananda Sakha. Practically, you can choose anyone you like. They're all good. Once Prabhupada said, when he reads his books, he would open to any place and start reading. He said, because it's like sugar. Any place you taste, it's sweet. It doesn't matter where. Three more seconds.
It's not really, you know.
It'll become your favorite verse if you say it.
The last verse again.
The penultimate verse.
Yeah, the 18th.
Second to last verse.
The 18th verse.
Oh, 18th verse. Last verse.
Yes.
Okay. We've got a lot of votes for the last verse.
O my Lord, as powerful as fire, O omnipotent one, now I offer you all obeisances falling on the ground at your feet. O my Lord, please lead me on the right path to reach you. And since you know all that I have done in the past, please free me from the reactions to my past sins so that there will be no hindrance to my progress.
What do you like about it?
Because it's very, very hard to get out of the conditional life with our own effort. No matter what we try, the previous conditioning is always acting. Mm. And so only the Lord can free us from this conditioning. So here this mantra is kind of appealing to the Lord that please free me from the reactions of my past sins. So that we can make progress in devotional service without any hindrances.
Thank you. Who else has one? Chakradari?
Yeah, I like verse 14. 'Cause
it's, 14, yeah. Tell us about it.
Well, it says, one should know perfectly this personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, and his transcendental names, forms, qualities, and pastimes, as well as the temporary material creation with his temporary demigods, men, and animals. One who knows these, surpasses death and the empirical cosmic manifestation with it. And in the eternal kingdom of God, he enjoys his eternal life of bliss and knowledge. So there's a lot in that verse. And I like how it has Krishna's name in it. I think it's only mantra in the whole book that says Krishna's name. Mm. And also how it tells us about life, how it's full of bliss and knowledge.
Thank you very much. That's how Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati used to judge how he liked articles that the devotees would write. And he would see how many times it said Krishna, Lord Chaitanya. And you add them up and say, I like this one. Because the holy name's there. Oops. Namanyanantasya yashon kitaniyat. This is a verse, this is a statement also in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Tadvag visargo janataga viplavo yasmin pratishlokam abadyavaktyabhi. Namanyanantasya yashon kitaniyat shinvanti gayanti grananti sarava. Narada Muni says that the Bhagavatam, it's meant to create a revolution in the hearts of the people in general. It's meant to change things completely. And that it's effective even if it's imperfectly composed or even if one can't recite it properly. Why? Namanyanantasya, the name, the unlimited names of Krishna are there within the Srimad Bhagavatam, wave after wave after wave. And by hearing them, by saying them, we connect with Krishna, become purified. Who else has a favorite verse? Got one more chance to say which is your favorite verse. Be counted. The second favorite. This is good. This is called greed. That's good. You should have greed for Krishna consciousness. Grab what you can. Go ahead. Jump in.
This is mantra number 10.
10.
Where it says, the wise have explained that one result is derived from the culture of knowledge and that a different result is obtained from the culture of nations. And I was kind of tying that together with be careful, it drains to the bay.
Yeah, nice. Nice context also. That is one of my favorite verses also. It's so clear. There's in this world, there's transcendental sound vibration, and everything else is material sound vibration. Take your pick. Take your choice. Because, you know, what you consume is where you'll end up. Yanti deva vrta devan, pitrin yanti patirvata, bhutani yanti bhuteja, yanti mam yajinopimam. We have our own volition. This is the point of being a soul, where we actually have independence. It's amazing. We can go where we like. And Krishna says, yanti deva vrta devan, pitrin yanti patirvata. You can go to the devas, you can go to the pitris. It's an open universe. Go where you like. It depends on where you place your consciousness, how you cultivate your consciousness. You'll go there, where you place your attention. And as we place our attention on transcendental sound, we'll get that result, without a doubt. And if we don't, then definitely we won't get that, but it's uncertain what we'll get, really. You can go anywhere. But Krishna's so kind that he'll help us. Deepak.
Mantra 6.
Okay, we have a vote for mantra 6 right up here in the front row. We were hoping for another mantra.
Do I please translate? Basically, I'll read the translation and I'll talk about why I like that.
Okay.
It's mantra 6. He who sees everything in relation to the Supreme Lord, who sees all living entities as his parts and parcels, and who sees the Supreme Lord within everything, never hates anything or any being. This is Ishri Ishopanishad. What I like, it's again extension of Srimad Bhagavad Gita, some of the concepts basically. And, all creations which are there, which are here, if we start seeing it as being there, created by Supreme Lord, for us to start remembering him so that we can get association and we advance, it's up to an individual how he takes it up. If he starts finding fault, if he start, it's a choice. It's a free will which we have. And, we can derive juices, mellows out of what our consciousness is from all the things around. And looking around a cat or a dog or anything around, if we start getting into that state of getting remembrance from all those creations, I think that's where exalted devotees are, and we should aspire for that.
You said to see Krishna everywhere, then you can get the juice of life, something like that, right? To see how Krishna is expanded everywhere and everything. Okay, nice. There are spaces up here too. Let's fill in these spaces. Otherwise, I get lonely up front.